Amen. Amen to that. Amen to that. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love. Just pray for just move among us this morning. Be our teacher. Pray you to just anoint me. I speak things of the Spirit, and each person could receive of the Spirit. So we give thanks to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, this morning we'll be looking at John chapter 17. We'll start off with John chapter 17, verse 18. John 17, 18. And it says this: as you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. Now, just think of this. Just imagine this, that if you had been able to spend 3 years with Jesus, and him teaching you everything he had to say, and then at that end of the 3 years, he goes, let me pray for you. Wouldn't that be cool? Well, that's exactly what happened here. The disciples had spent 3 years with Jesus, and he had taught them and shown them things just unbelievable. They've seen the dead rise. They've seen the sick healed, just powerful things, and sitting under his teaching. And so at that period of time, and he's coming to the just before he entered Jerusalem and his ultimate crucifixion, and he says to them, well, let me pray for you. Well, that'd be some kind of prayer, wouldn't it? I mean, he's taught them for 3 years. He goes, now I'm going to pray for you. And this is one of the things he prayed for them. Now, chapter 17 is Jesus' prayer for the disciples, the whole chapter. So I encourage you to read that chapter. It's fascinating, okay? What Jesus, in fact, you could call chapter 17 of John Jesus' prayer. Jesus' prayer, because that's his prayer that he's praying for the disciples. Now, what I want to do this morning is for us to kind of put ourselves in the place of those disciples, okay? This is Jesus praying for us. And look at what he's saying. Now, again, we've had a lot of teaching. We've been with Jesus. Been to Jesus 3 years. He said, now let me pray. Now, this is what he's praying. So it has a depth here. So Jesus says, and we go back to this the verse here. I'm not going to cover the whole chapter, but I encourage you to read the whole chapter. Fascinating. So here's Jesus' prayer, and he's praying to God the Father for the disciples. And he says this in John 17, 18. God, as you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. Now, what would your response be? You've been with Jesus. You've seen it happen. And he goes, now, Father, you've sent me. Now I send them. And Peter and John, Matthew, and they're going, what? Yeah, they sent you, but were you sending us? Huh? You kind of, what? Father, as you have sent me, I'm going to send them. There might have been a little bit of chill run up their back, you know. What does this mean? I mean, what's the concept you're saying here? But that's his prayer to the Father. Oh, Father, as you have sent me, I am sending them. Now, so what was Jesus exactly talking about? Think of what he said. We want to look at his words. Father, as you have sent me, Jesus. Okay, we see what Jesus did. In the very same way, I'm going to send them. Well, the prayer says to me, we have the ministry of Jesus. The believers have the ministry of Jesus. And we are supposed to function in the power of Jesus. As you have sent me, I'm going to send them. Same thing. It's a multiplication. It's a handing of the baton. So that's what we're going to look at. That's the focus of we see what's being said here, that we have the ministry of Jesus. You know, and I've said this before. We say, oh, I just wish Jesus was here, you know, and he could show us. And Jesus goes, no, I am there. I am there. Oh, I wish I just had the power of Jesus to do what he wanted. You do have. Everything in the Bible says we do. Everything in the scripture says that we do. So I'm going to pick out some verses. Just look at this flow of Jesus' mindset as he's praying for the disciples, those that come after him. And here we have, and when we look at this verse, where in Jesus' prayer, he also makes a declaration, if you will, of who we are. So he prays for us, and he starts off, he's going to tell us who we are, all right? He's telling the disciples who they are. So look at this proclamation that Jesus makes about the relationship of the disciples with him. Now remember, Jesus is saying it. He's talking to the fellows right here. Guys and gals, okay, here's the declaration. Look at John 17:3. So we start off, and we're going to look at verse 3 in John 17. And so he's praying to the Father for the disciples, and he says this, and this is eternal life. Now, circle is, this will be eternal life. Okay, in the future, in eternal life. When we die, there's eternal. That's not what he says. This is eternal life. Right here, we have the message, what eternal life is. This is eternal life, that they may know you, Father, the only true God, and that they may know Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. What's eternal life? Eternal life is to know God, the only true God. That's eternal life, just to know God. And Jesus Christ, whom he sent, just to know them, is eternal life. Now that, again, I'm thinking, what are the disciples thinking? I'm thinking, what are we thinking? Okay? Well, you know, I'm just praised, you know, so-and-so died, and, you know, they've entered into eternal life, and, you know, they're in a better place, you know. Of course, without Christ, you know, I don't know about that. See? But no, eternal life, what does it say? This is eternal life, is to know Christ. Now, here's the point. Here's the point in this prayer that Jesus is making. Eternal life is now. Eternal life is now. It's this very second. It's eternal life is now. The power is now. The power is now. It's this very second. When we come to know Christ, we are stepping in to eternal life. Eternally past, eternally future. Okay? Eternal life is at this very moment. Therefore, God's eternal power is at this very moment. So that's a point we have to see here, that Jesus is saying, oh, to know me, to know the true God, and this is eternal life, now, right now. So it's his whole perspective is fascinating. Now, we know, of course, that eternal life and this relationship, us enabling to know God, comes into being the kingdom of God, of his beloved Son. It comes through the action of Jesus dying on the cross. Okay, we know that's the gateway in to knowing God and to knowing Jesus Christ is the payment Jesus made for the penalty of our sin. So we know that. In fact, we just should look at that verse because we'll say, and remember what Jesus is saying. He's praying for them before he went to the cross. Jesus knows full well what's happening. He's not confused about this. Disciples are confused. He's not confused. So he's praying what is in the future is what's going to happen. So he's telling them these things, which is really fascinating. He said, this is eternal life, that they know you, they know me. Now, let's look at Colossians 1, chapter 13 through 14, just so they kind of reconcile and think we can know Christ, know the Father without understanding the cross. Look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 through 14, which reconciles things. It says, Jesus has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. Amen? Now look what happened. And I love the way this put. We're standing right here. We have both feet right on the ground. We trust in Jesus. Okay? Before we trust in Jesus, we're right here. We're in the dominion of darkness. We trust Jesus. He transfers us into the kingdom. We ain't moved. Same piece of dirt. What we did, we entered into spiritually the kingdom. We entered into spiritually eternal life. And eternal life is to know God and to know Jesus. Know them. And so it happened through the cross. That's the gateway to eternal life. But eternal life is now. The power of Christ is now. It's right now. So all this is starting to make a little bit of sense when we see it from our perspective. So here it is. Having a relationship with God means that we are living in the presence and the power and the love of God. Right? Having a relationship with God means we're living in the presence, power, and love of God right now, which is called eternal life. So that's God, that's the way God is looking at us. And he's telling us so that we can function in that realm in which we live, in which we live. Now, so we are experiencing eternal life now. And the eternal life is to walk and talk with God. It's eternal life. You know, it's like, only the relationship, one of the most intimate relationships there is a marriage relationship, which, you know, even God relates to salvation to that Jesus is going to come for his bride, the church. He even has that relationship there. So, you know, I have a relationship with my wife, and we're going to go off and spend some time together, and that's enjoyable. We're walking and talking. Then we go through some terrible times and all the world's falling apart and it's just everything's wrong. I don't have a relationship with her anymore because everything's going wrong. No, everything's going wrong, but we're walking and talking in relationship when everything's going wrong. The relationship stayed the same, all right? The circumstances around us changed, but the relationship stayed the same. Our relationship isn't dependent on the circumstances around us. And this is what Jesus is saying. Oh, this is eternal life right now. Know God, know Jesus. You walk in the love, presence, power of God. This is eternal life. Amen? Junk may go on around us, but we're walking in the presence of God. That's what he's telling them. Now, I don't think they're getting. In fact, I know they're not. They're going, yeah, as long as we're with you. Okay, there's me and you, you know. But Jesus is telling them, no, it's God who sent me, I'm going to send you. So here's the view that Jesus is presenting. Again, Jesus is praying this prayer. Jesus is praying this prayer. Eternal life is now. Power is now. Amen? Now let's go back to the verse we started out with, okay? John 17:18. We'll look at it again. So if it's the presence of God we're walking in, the love of God we're walking in, the power of God we're walking in, hey, if we're in heaven, it's cool, all right? If everything's going well, it's cool. On this earth, it stinks. You know, under a crazy government, it stinks. But no, we're still walking and talking in the presence of God. And that is eternal life. And that's what Jesus did. God sent Jesus into a realm of people that hated him. Okay? And him. The Romans controlled all the known world, were ruthless. And Israel was a religious system within that realm that was very judgmental and persecuted Jesus. And so Jesus knows what he's talking about. Eternal life is now. But you see the Romans? Do you see the Pharisees? No, I see Jesus. I see God, the presence and the power and the love of God. See, that's how he sent Jesus. We're going, wow. But then this is a killer. This is the killer. And he says, Lord, as you sent me, now I send them. They're going through the same thing I did. They're going to do the same thing I did. So here's the second point. In Jesus' prayer, the disciples were to carry the very same ministry Jesus did. The very same ministry. The disciples were to carry it out in the very same power that Jesus sent it out. I mean, it's just reading what it says. That's what it says. This is what Jesus said. You know, we go back to the message we was talking about last week. Jesus either liar, lunatic, or God. As we look at this, liar sounds a little nuts to me, but no, he's God. So he said, no, this is what's going to happen. This is how I function. This is the way it's supposed to be. So what you have here then is that, and so here's the message that we see of Jesus. So we're having a view of how this works by seeing Jesus, all right? And so we see Jesus lived as a man full of the Holy Spirit. Jesus did that. He was the first one, all right? He lived as a man full of the Holy Spirit. Now, over here, we understand that Jesus is God, okay? But he was fully man also. And so Jesus as a man lived full of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, as Jesus was sent as a man full of the Holy Spirit, he walked in the presence and the love and the power of God. Amen? We all say, amen, I'm cool with Jesus doing that. But what he says here, Jesus says to the disciples, I'm going to send you as men full of the Holy Spirit, living in the presence and power of God. And they're going, that don't make sense. You're doing good. But that doesn't make sense to me. You're putting that on me. You know, Jesus is the man is doing it, but that's what he's saying. Jesus is telling these guys. So what we have here, and by the way, we know this happened. You know how we know that this happened? That Jesus walked in the fullness and the power of God, and that the disciples walked in the fullness of the power of God. We have the witness and the evidence of the Bible, and we have the witness and evidence of Christianity. That's why Christianity exists. That's the reason it hadn't been snuffed out. Because there are men and women full of the Holy Spirit, the love of God, the power of God, and the presence of God that carry on the ministry of Jesus. They're still here. So the church, Christianity, is an evidence that Jesus' prayer took hold. The Bible is, it happened. We are evidence being here that it happened. So Jesus had as a good prayer. God answered his prayer. That was a good prayer. They carried on his ministry. Amen? Does that make sense? See? Now we've looked at these verses before, but I want to look at them again because they're examples of how Jesus carried his ministry, and just in the same manner, a man who wasn't God, who wasn't Jesus, carried out the same ministry, just like Jesus said. This is what Jesus said, and this is what his disciples after him did. They did the same thing. They did the same thing Jesus did. So here's what Jesus did. We'll look at Acts 2:22. And this is Peter's talking here in Acts 2:22, and it's very interesting how he explains this. He goes this, Jesus of Nazareth, a man. Now we know Jesus is God, all right? Fully God, but fully man. But he's focusing on the point of the man is he's being a man as man was supposed to be. Okay? So Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him. I mean, Jesus is cool. But what happened? He said, no, this is what God did through Jesus. You see what I'm saying? That's how Jesus was sent into the world. A man, and he did mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him. Amen? What does John 17 say? As you sent me, I'm going to send them. Now let's look at a man. Just a man. Just a man. Look at Romans 15:18. This is the Apostle Paul. But look at the similarities of the ministry. The Apostle Paul. Romans 15:18. For I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me. What did they give Jesus credit for? What God accomplished through him. Now the man, it says, Paul goes, I'm not going to say anything except what Christ accomplished through me. To bring Gentiles to obedience by the word and deed, by power of signs, wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God. Paul went out and carried the same ministry that Jesus carried in the same way. Almost uses the same terminology. So Jesus' prayer was right on. The Bible and the church is a witness to what Jesus said. The disciples carried on the same ministry as Jesus. Amen? Okay. Driving home the point, reinforcing the point. But here it comes down. Here it comes down. And this is an important truth to expose this important truth. This tremendous truth we're going to see here. Pay attention to what the Lord says. The supernatural ministry of Jesus did not end with the
original disciples. Amen? It didn't end with those 12 guys. Did not end. The supernatural did not end in the first century. It did not end in the first century. This is very evident in the prayer of Jesus. All right? Very evident in the prayer of Jesus. It did not end with those guys. They received the baton first, but it didn't end with them. Look at what Jesus says. We're still in John 17. Look at what Jesus says. Verse 20. John 17, 20. Jesus goes, he says, Father, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. He said, God, it's not just these guys here. It's not just the 12. But it's also those who believe through their word. Through their word. So it's all believers that came after them. The prayer, John 17, is for all believers. Every single, you can read John 17, and every time it puts them, we, or you, or something, put your name in there. Put your name in there, in that chapter. Put your name, every place where that personal pronoun is. Put your name, because he's praying to you. He's talking about you that will carry on his church, the ministry of Jesus, for eternity. So Jesus is not only praying for his present disciples, but it's the same prayer for all future believers. Jesus is not distinguishing between groups of believers. He's not doing that. Future believers are to carry on the supernatural ministry of Jesus. Not only that, they're to carry it out to a greater extent than Jesus. I mean, we're going, the disciples are going, wow, that's cool. Man, I mean, to do what Jesus did, I don't know. That's a little much. But he goes, no, not what I did. Jesus said, you're going to do more than I did. That's what he said. In fact, we've already looked at this before, but let's just go. We're in John 17. Let's go back up to John chapter 14. Look at John 14, 12. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I'm going to the Father. I mean, I think we should just jump back into last week's message. You know, a liar, lunatic, or God. I mean, under our breath, he's got, Jesus, I think you're nuts, man. I just do. Gosh, this gives me chills to say that. You know, you just, come on, you're pulling my leg. You ain't going to do that. You're just lying. No. If it's not those two, then he's God. Then if he's God, then he's going to do what he said. So it's like, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. So the third point here is that we're going to carry out the same ministry Jesus did with the same power as Jesus did. I mean, it's just beyond comprehension. But that's what the Bible says. That's what he says about the church. Now listen, we go back, and it's always a fascinating study to study the first century church. Spread like wildfire. Just spread like wildfire. They didn't have internet. And having telephones, and spread like fire. Because you had a bunch of people on fire. See? A bunch of people on fire. And what did they know? They knew eternal life, which is what? They knew God and they knew Jesus. See? They knew God and they knew Jesus. And they're on fire. Okay? And so this is what happened in the future. That's how the church got established. And so the power of the God when it came upon the disciples, and it came on all the people after that. Now, I want to share something with you. The future believers, all right, they will carry what? Forgiveness of sins and eternal life. Amen? We do that. Carry that. But also, the prayer indicates that all future believers are going to have the same spiritual gifts that Jesus had. That the same original disciples had. That's what he says. That he gave the original disciples gifts to carry out this ministry, to be a witness to Christ. He gave them. And he's continuing to give them. He didn't stop giving them. I mean, it's almost a damnable theology to say, well, they just ended. There's not one verse, not one verse in the Bible that says they ended. Not one. So, and what you have is plenty of verses that say they continue. Plenty that say they continue. So it's just, okay, this is just what it says. In fact, I'd like to, let's look at one verse here. This is real clear indication that the spiritual gifts were to continue to the end of time until Jesus comes back and just wipes everything out. I mean, there's several, but let's look at this. We look at 1 Corinthians 1:7. So he didn't leave us here without the helper. He didn't leave us here without the Holy Spirit. And he didn't leave us here powerlessly. Now we look at 1 Corinthians 1:7, and it says this, talking about spiritual gifts. It says, therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift. See, he just write a letter to the church. He writes it, dear Broadlands Community Church, you do not lack any spiritual gift. And I get the letter, open it up. So I don't know if that's true, God. You know, I mean, appreciate you saying that, but I'm not real sure about this, you know. But no, that's what he said. No, you don't lack anything. You know, the other place says act and, you know, and carry out and apportion what you have. But he goes, therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift. Well, for how long? You know, 6 months, year, you know, first century. You do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for the Lord to be revealed until he comes back. Has Jesus came back? No. Has he just wiped out all evil? No. By the way, when he comes back and wipes out all evil, we don't need the spiritual gifts. I mean, he just done cleaned things up. All right? So, but now we do. But now we do. So until that time when he comes, we do not lack any spiritual gift until he comes. So that says we have it. Did he come, say, 2 weeks after Paul wrote this? Okay. Paul wrote it, he came, 2 weeks, it's all over. No. Did he come 3 years after Paul wrote this? No. No. Has he? No. We have the necessary spiritual gifts to carry out the ministry that Jesus and the disciples did. That's what it says. That's what it says. The gifts did not end the first century, all right? Clearly states we do not lack any spiritual gifts. In fact, it goes on in 1 Corinthians 14:1, and it says, eagerly desire the gifts. It's all, that's what it says. And all this is very consistent with Jesus' prayer. That's what he said. That's what Jesus said. And so you look, and I just pulled out these three verses in John 17. John 17 is fascinating, all right? I mean, it'll challenge you. I mean, it's fascinating. Read the whole chapter. But I just pulled out three that, okay, the relationship, eternal life is the relationship with God, Jesus. And as God sent me, Jesus, I send you. And then also, I'm praying not only for these, but those who believe through your word. He took it all the way to the end of time. John chapter 17 is for us. It's his prayer to us. Put your name where those pronouns are in John 17. It's powerful. Now, here's what we'll leave you with. And this is what I find fascinating with the Bible. I'll tell you from my perspective sometimes. I read the Bible. So we can read the Bible. So you're sitting at home, you know, you're reading the Bible. So, wow, that's interesting. God said that. I wonder how he's going to work that. And you think about it, make some notes. You know, you may talk to your friends. And you're like that. So I read the Bible in the same way. Except I have a little different thing about me. A little different commission about me. I read, I said, man, that's what God's saying. Well, I'm going to go tell everybody about it. I'm going to tell the church. You know, it's like, well, why are you telling the church? Well, I just read it. That's what it says. So my job is to tell you. Now, you don't have to believe me. That's not your job, okay? But your job is to listen and say, well, let's go back. Is that right? And then you look. But what you look at the word. Is that right? Is that what it says? And so I kind of feel like I'm sticking my neck out on the limb. I'm saying, you know, this is what Jesus said. But what he is saying, presses the envelope beyond anything that a lot of us has witnessed. Now, we see pieces of it, but he is saying, no, I am moving. I am moving in this world. I have control in this world, and I'm moving through my church, and I'm doing supernatural things with us. I had getting older. Older? It's like, and sometimes, all the time, a lot of times I hear people, oh, you know, God's moving in XYZ. Let's go, and they're going to have a conference and tell you how they moved in XYZ. And I went to a lot of these. You know, go on their knee, XYZ. Now, it's like, you can't, God moved here. You go, oh, wow, he moved there. And you go, oh, God moved here. Okay, we'll go, wow, he moved here. And now it's like, I get these things, hey, God moved here. I say, I ain't going. I'm not going. I'm glad he's moving there. He's going to move here. I ain't going anyplace else. He's going to move here. And the Bible says he's going to move here. I'm tired of going other places, people making me feel bad, and he's moving there. You know, no, he's going to move here. So it's cut down the junk mail and everything, and I don't visit as many people as I used to. All right? But it's like, no, he's going to do it here because we have Jesus here. We don't have to go visit somebody else and see Jesus. He is here. So that's just where y'all go to any place you want to. I encourage you to. I'm not saying anything against that. I just won't go with you. All right? I just won't. It's just like, okay. And I do. I got a letter the other day. God is moving. I won't tell you where. Come and join us. I said, no, that's your deal. You take care of it. Hallelujah, God's moving. I ain't going, you know. So we'll send out postcards. You know, he's moving here. I'm going to send him back a postcard. Hey, he's moving to Broadlands Community Church. You come and look at us. He's looking at us. Man, things happening here. You come look. All right? I'm not going to see you. Anyway, but the point of it is, that's what God says about his church. See, he moves within his body, and his body is all over the place. And so that's what we need to know. We need to be encouraged. And we're encouraged because that's what the Bible says. Now, do we grow and develop? Yes, we do, and we have. But he's going to work with us, the church. We don't have to go anyplace else. Amen? You see what I'm saying? It's power, because it's here. He's called us here, and each one of us has Christ within us, power of the Holy Spirit. Now, here's why I want to leave with us as a church. Just leave with us. And as you look at John 17, based on Jesus' prayer. And there's just a couple of things. I think when I read this, and based on what Jesus said, is be alert. Be alert. It's like, be alert, because God may be working in Winchester. Be alert because God may be working in Morgantown, West Virginia. No, be alert because God's working here. He's got a church in Morgantown, West Virginia. He's got a church in Winchester. Okay, he's working here. Be alert. And here's something that I see it all through Scripture. God will move suddenly. Suddenly. Sometimes it'll just kind of just blah, blah, blah. And then wham. And it's, you look in the Bible, you have a concordance or something, just look up suddenly and look how many times that's used. And so be alert because God will move suddenly. And so therefore we need to be prepared to move in the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, what it tells about the power of the Holy Spirit, and this is, I've said this before, it's a good word with the power of the Holy Spirit. The two words are immediate and direct. Immediate and direct. Because the Holy Spirit, when he speaks and he shows us something, it's immediate and direct. So when something happens suddenly and quickly, the Holy Spirit will work immediately and directly for you to deal with it. Amen? So that's what we want to stand. And you know, this is what Jesus prayed for us. That's his vision for us. So let's just think about that. That we have that gift. That Jesus had prayed that we will continue to carry out Jesus' ministry. And I use these examples. And let's say you had a pro football player, you know, and you had his kids. Listen, come on, and I'm going to retire, and you're going to take my position, and you're going to play this position while I'm gone. Okay? I'm not going to give you any pads. I'm not going to give you any shoes. I'm going to give you anything to wear. But you give it that old all. You go, well, that's nuts. Well, that's what we're saying Jesus did. Man, he was the pro, and he got it done. And he tells us to do it. He said, I ain't giving you nothing. You just do it. You know, just suffer for Jesus. I've heard that a lot. Just suffer for Jesus. I may suffer for Jesus, but I don't want to suffer in a football game because I don't have any pads. You know, I won't suffer in a football game because I had pads and we had a good, you know, knockdown drag out with pads. Or, okay, I'll suffer for Jesus. But don't just send me out with no pads and say suffer for Jesus. Which got nothing to, you know. No, I've given you everything you need. I've given you everything you need. So, hallelujah. Be prepared. Things will happen suddenly. And you just step into it. All right? Speak, Jesus. Holy Spirit, speak. And he'll lead us what we should do. And again, we have the message. John 3:16. And again, it's so nice to use John 3:16 when you're talking about John 17. So there's a flow in the whole thing. And so we start out, why is God doing this? Why is Jesus doing this? Well, this is why. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. And think about it. For God so loved Brian. For God so loved Katie. For God so loved Woods. What? That he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Oh my goodness, what did we find out eternal life meant? No Jesus, no Christ. And he says, now go in the power of Christ. Is he sent Christ? I'm sending you, you know, with all of the gifts. Because I love you. I mean, if you tell me to play a football game and sit there, you carry on the tradition. You go in there. And these are tough guys. You go on. Now, I'm not giving you any pads. I'm questioning the love. Where's the love? Where is the love? Just suffer for Jesus. Where's the love in that? You know, well, you can do it. People in the past had pads. You don't need any. You go, I would say, that's nuts. But Jesus didn't say that. He said, I'm giving you the pad. No, but what Jesus said, I'm giving you bigger pads. I'm giving you better shoes. You're going to run faster, jump higher, the shoes I give you. Okay? Because you're going to do more than I did. Because you're going to have better equipment than I did. You know. When I played football in high school at West Virginia, and they had an old locker room, went in there, and I saw those old leather helmets. They had old leather helmets in there. I thought, what idiot would wear these things? I mean, you got to get in there. I wish I would have kept one. Now, they've been a collector's item. But it's in a way, Jesus had the leather helmet. Jesus had the leather helmet. And he says, you go out, and you play this game, and you got these good helmets. I mean, they squirt those things up. They form fit your head. You know, you could run through a building with them, all right? Okay, because they're going to do more than what he did. You see what I'm saying? It's crazy to say, I ain't giving you a helmet. You don't even get a leather helmet. You see what I'm saying? The logic is not there. It's not in the scriptures. It's not in the scriptures. But God says, I will speak to you. And I'll end with this. He said, I'll bring you before kings and princes. And says, don't worry about what you say. Don't worry about what to say. Because I'll give it to you at the very moment you need it. I'll tell you. See? Got the helmet. I'll give it to you. Amen? That's a confidence. That's a confidence. Won't we stand? Praise Jesus. We're not going to have a prophetic team up here this morning. They're scattered all over the place and have to teach school and what have you, so they won't come up. But please, if you want to be prayed for, feel free to come up and pray for you. Look forward to that. But, you know, we have our prophetic team, and we pray for you because we believe in the prophetic. We believe that God speaks to our people and that we can minister one to another. And so continue to pray for them. So, and praise God that you are called and you are touched, and he's doing a work here. You don't have to go someplace else and look for it. He's doing it here. He's doing it here. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your love. We thank you for your goodness. And we pray, God, you continue to be our teacher. Lord, I think as the disciples said, when they're hearing Jesus speak, they're not understanding what he's saying. But I think each of us have received him, and in the power of the Holy Spirit, we're being able to see glimpses of, no, this is what he said, how he's going to work through us. And so we thank you. We thank you for the presence of Christ in our lives this day. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen.